This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Kumho Majesty 9 Solus TA91. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Seton, what if I told you there's a bacon, then there's number one thick cut, tastes like a touchdown in your mouth bacon?
You must be talking about Wright brand bacon, because mm-hmm. they are not playing when it comes to the premium quality of their bacon.
It's thick cut, hand trimmed, and real wood smoke, real. And you can tell.
So why settle for average bacon when you can have the real stuff?
That's right. And if you're looking to upgrade any meal, try Wright brand bacon. That's called Wright brand bacon. You won't regret it.
Experience bacon the right way.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Tuesday. Morale is high. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Tim Hasselbeck from the Mothership will look at the New York Jets and the LA Chargers following last night's win by the Chargers. Also, Deion Sanders will join us in the final hour of the program. Welcome you to stay as long as you like. 877-3DP Show. Operator Tyler standing by. And good morning to those watching on Peacock, our streaming partner. Download the app if you haven't done so. Sign up for the newsletter. A lot of great items there. Restocking the shelves with some of your favorite T-shirts, including Krappensburg Steak. When the night shift starts, the nightmare begins. Five Nights at Freddy's in theaters and streaming now on Peacock. I think that's made close to $200 million so far. Five Nights at Freddy's.
Mostly because of our promotion.
You think so?
Oh, we put our weight behind something.
Okay. all right. So got a poll question that we'll recap from hour one, and then a fresher poll question coming up hour two. Seton will do those honors right now.
Right now, Dan. Yes, the LA Chargers are the more frustrating franchise between the Chargers and the Jets. That's at 65%. Now it's up.
Okay.
And then I think we pivot to one that we threw out a little earlier. If Aaron Rodgers will actually play a game this season, because a lot of reaction to him throwing bombs last night on the sideline.
I know he's throwing 50-yard bombs there last night. Now, cleared to play and playing might be two different things. We've seen that with Deshaun Watson. Cleared to play. But should he play? Yes, Paulie.
And don't forget the cleared to resume football activities, then the subsequent cleared to play. Mm-hmm. So we have multiple steps, I think.
Okay. All right. So 877-3DP Show. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to those, our radio affiliates, Fox Sports Radio, iHeart Radio, nearly 400 cities that carry this program. Got into a discussion last night, and it almost morphed into an argument, and it had to do with pizza. Because everybody's got their favorite pizzeria. And then if you don't agree with them, then you're the problem. And we're very fortunate in this part of the country. New Haven has three or four of the best pizzerias in the country. And maybe even more than that. It's hard to find bad pizza in the area. It's easy to find good pizza. But all of a sudden, it's an off-the-cuff comment, and I mentioned that, hey, I was thinking about going to this place, having pizza tonight with my daughter, and why would you go there? Oh, I don't know. I like it. Well, you don't like it better than that. And I go, yeah, I do. And then all of a sudden, it gets territorial and defensive. I go, hey, it's okay. Like, you can like your pizza. I like this one. It doesn't have to, be an argument. Who's arguing? I go, you're arguing. I'm just telling you, this is where I'm going to go tomorrow night. Is that okay? Paulie?
Do you think people almost always, I think I know the answer, almost always side with the local pizza place they grew up on, and they think it's great because they grew up on it, and they can't be objective?
Well, I grew up in a small town in Ohio, and the pizza wasn't great, but I didn't know it wasn't great until I had great pizza.
But when you were, I bet you when you were nine and you got pizza, it was a treat. And when you got it, you and your brothers were probably like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
You're wolfing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you have pizza in New York or in Connecticut, New Haven, and you go, oh, wow, that's different. But yeah, people do get territorial that you don't taste what they taste or like what they like. Yes, Todd.
I agree with Paul. I think you're also affected with how you grew up, and you have memories hanging out with your friends on the weekend or after school or playing in the playground, and you go grab a slice. Even if it's not the greatest pizza, the memories and having it convenient near where you grew up is probably part of why you might think something is better than it actually tastes.
Yeah, but this isn't about growing up. I didn't grow up in the area. I'm just going to have pizza.
But people get angry if you don't like their hometown pizza. Like if they take you there. I took a friend. There's a place called Aurelio's in Homewood where we grew up. And we thought it was just the best. There's a bunch of places in the south side of Chicago. And I brought a friend there from college. He goes, yeah, it's not for me. I'm like, what? And, you know, I was 21 years old. I was personally like upset with this guy. But I think that's what happens. Like the guy last night.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to get into a fight and the police say, hey, come on, what are you guys fighting about? Oh, pizza, you know. That's not the thing to get into a fight.
He made that deep dish comment and we just went at it. I'm not going to listen to that.
Yeah,
so put your hands behind your back, please.
Put the sausage down.
Can I put my pizza down?
You have the right to remain silent.
Yeah. Yeah. But in this area, everybody's got their favorite pizza, and you know, God forbid if you decide that you have something contrary to that.
Because now New Haven pizza is too touristy. So if you want real pizza, you gotta go outside in New Haven. That's right. Just where all the tourists go. Oh God. It's just pizza.
Yeah, I know.
Seat and I both lived at different times in New Haven and went in the early days before it got touristy and popular. And it was, you know, but now it's become like a tourist attraction of the state of Connecticut. A real big one.
Yeah, but it's still great pizza there.
It is, yeah.
I mean, even though it's tourist, I mean, it's not like Times Square where you go in and you go, I'm going to Bubba Gump Shrimp or something.
But the problem is a lot of them are franchising now. And so the ones that, yeah. Like, say, Pepe's, right, you used to have to go to New Haven, and that was the only place you could get it. Well, there's a dozen of them now, and none of them are even remotely as close to good as the original one is. But you got to wait 90 minutes in line get pizza, which
Sally's,
for some of us, is a non-starter.
Sally's and Pepe's and Modern, those are three of the best in the country.
And it's like a crowd draws a crowd. If you go there on the weekends, it's 11 o'clock, these places open, and there's 50 tourists in line, standing in line, and it causes people to want to go there more.
Yes, Todd.
And all of a sudden, Sbarro got popular. It's in the malls.
No,
it's at the gas station.
No, it didn't. With you, it did. I like how Todd goes, man, that Sbarro pizza is good.
I go for the baked ziti, actually.
Baked ziti.
Of course you do.
I have baked ziti, like meatball and noodles and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. No, and I know what's in baked ziti. Thank you, Todd.
They got a few different dishes there.
Nobody loves a chain restaurant like you do.
You fill up the gas, you get a Caesar salad and a little baked ziti.
I like when Todd goes, man, Applebee's. They got everything you need, you know? And I go, okay.
You didn't just say noodles, did you?
He did.
They got the pasta there.
Yeah.
But in the Olive Garden, they'll give you all you can have soup and salad and the breadsticks and the pasta that keeps coming. So you explode. They'll just keep bringing it to you.
Yeah, they bring all the stuff that doesn't cost any money.
I guess. How do they stay in business?
They bring you lettuce, and they bring you bread and some butter, and then you fill up.
Fifth plate of fettuccine Alfredo they're bringing me.
All righty. We're here in the second hour of the program. Headlines, Chargers handle the Jets. Daniel Jones officially out for the season. The Cubs, I guess they fired their manager to hire a manager. I don't know if they had an opening there, but Craig Counsell from the Brewers goes to the Cubs. How does David Ross, like, what happens? Because I don't think there was an opening. And then all of a sudden, they have a new man. It was like, Cubs have a new manager. And I go, well, what happened to the other one? They were two games away from making the playoffs. God, that's got to be weird. But if you're Dave, what do you do if you're David Ross? I mean, helped you in the World Series. He was a World Series hero. Helped you manage that team through COVID. I mean, he did a lot of great things. Craig Counsell, I think, was up for a couple of jobs, including the Mets. James Harden has 17 in the Clippers, lost his debut for them. I watched a lot of the game. Man, it's bad basketball. It's just it just spacing and threes, spacing, threes. And you just keep firing. Doesn't matter. Keep firing. You might make them tonight. If you don't, they'll be the next night. Just keep firing away. But I thought Harden had moments last night, but you're still, you know, it's going to obviously take time. How about we revisit this in mid-December and we look at this and we go, all right, is this going to work out? The Clippers starting lineup last night had a combined 32 All-Star games on their resumes. The last time to go to the Madison Square Garden to face the Knicks with at least four starters having five or more All-Star game selections was 2003. The 03 Lakers. Karl Malone had 14, Shaq 10 All-Star appearances, Gary Payton 9, and Kobe had 5.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Joel Embiid went off last night, 48-11-6. And then the Joker had 35-14-12. Another triple-double. He now ranks fourth all-time in triple-doubles. He's 30 behind Magic Johnson, who he'll probably catch this year. He broke a tie with LeBron and Jason Kidd. Let that sink in for a little while with the Joker. A center with these triple-doubles. And the key really is his passing. He's going to score and he's going to rebound, but the passing, that's the difference there. And it's an oh, by the way. I'm surprised when he doesn't have a triple-double. I had a couple of phone calls in here. Michael in Fort Wayne. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. Last weekend, I was driving through Ohio and had the opportunity to spend a good quality hour listening to your podcast that you did with Aaron and Chris, Calm Down, I believe it's called, and thoroughly enjoyed that interview an awful lot. One thing that I noticed in there, you talked an awful lot about your love for the art of interviewing. Mm-hmm. And there are some shows out there that are on podcasts and TV shows today that will utilize artificial tools during their interview to open their guest up and make them more likely to give candid answers, such as eating increasingly spicy wings or something like that. Hmm. And I want to know what you think about that. Is the art of the interview made stronger or weaker by using artificial tools like that to open people up?
Well, I don't think there are many shows that have something they lean on or a crutch, and that's a fun show. I mean, it's really about, you know, the food itself, not the questions to open you up. I don't know how many other, you know, other shows may provide liquor. I remember Jimmy Kimmel's show many, many years ago when I was out there. He had a bar and, you know, encouraging you have a drink before you went on, which I didn't. But for the most part, I don't know how many shows are leaning on something artificial to get you to open up. Yes, Eden.
I think, too, you could say that every show, or at least interviewers who care about doing a good interview, use tools to some degree. Like, sometimes it looks on the surface like a softball question, but if you ask somebody, so what kind of car are you driving? It's not a softball question. You're loosening them up to talk about something that they don't want to talk about. Like, something easy. Oh, right. Oh, but what's the first car you ever bought? It's not necessarily important, but it's a tool to loosen somebody up to then say, and so when did you start using steroids? Whoa, I didn't see that coming. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I already know the first question I'm asking Deion Sanders next hour. I already know it. And is it to loosen him up or surprise him? Or no, I just think this is the timing of this is the pertinent question, the right question. But I ask questions where, and Seton's right, sometimes you're just trying to get them to talk a little bit. I want you to get out of being a coach speak or athlete speak. You know, maybe it's not a football question. I remember asking Coach Saban, first thing I said was, what were you listening to this morning coming into work? And he starts telling me about music. Okay. And then he talked about playing air guitar at his lake house. Yes, he.
And just that has already gotten him out of his coach speak mind.
Yeah.
Just that, like, oh, man, ZZ Top is my favorite band, or whatever it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's already gotten him away from his, well, you know, LSU's a good opponent, and we got to beat them, but on NIL.
But imagine this, though. The people I interview are interviewed more than anybody else in America. Deion Sanders interviewed all the time. Nick Saban all the time. If you're having them on, how do I get you out of what is their comfort zone? Because if they're just going to give coach speak, then there's no reason to have them on. I want them to give me something and have a conversation with them. And if I sat down with Nick Saban, it wouldn't be all football questions. It would be probably about life. Or Deion, it would be something more than just football. So why not, if you have the time, the luxury, then that's really the key. If I have 10 minutes and I can't get something out of somebody, then it's on me. But, you know, give me an hour and I can get a whole lot out of people. But I don't have that luxury here. But if that show about hot wings is really about, you know, how spicy it is, and great, I don't care. I mean, I'm not tuning in to go, well, let me see, is this 60 minutes worthy? No, it's entertainment. And plus, everybody has their own approach to these things. My approach is different than most people. But I do care about the person I'm interviewing, and that's where you start, because then it's not about your questions, about their answers. And that's always been my approach. But, hey, whatever works for you, that's what I always say. Kurt in Pennsylvania, then we'll take a break. Hi, Kurt. How are you today?
Yes, Dan. Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Big fan, first-time caller. I have follow-up advice for the father of the bride. And my daughter got married a month ago in Chicago, and my speech was 4 minutes. But here's how I opened up. I took a quote directly from a sports documentary, the subject being Mike Vick, not Mike Vick, Mike Vick, son of Bill Vick.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the owner of the White Sox. He said, being a father, everyone can relate to this. A girl comes up to you, shows you her hand, and before you can blink an eye, she reaches into your chest cavity, pulls your heart out, shows it to you, and says, you probably think this belongs to you, but you're wrong. This is mine. And she's totally right. And that's how I opened up, and it was a killer. So.
Well, you're having a hard time getting through this. I can't imagine what it was like a month ago getting through this.
No, I was good then.
Good. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Oh, okay. But not then. You're more nervous now. I watched the Mike Vick documentary, and it's wonderful. And he talks about losing his daughter. And his daughter was there with him when he's trying to revitalize his career in minor league baseball. And his daughter was always there with him. And then, you know, she died. I think she might have been 30 years of age. But he does talk about that your heart doesn't belong to you. It belongs to your daughter. All right. Woo. All right. Take a break. Let's talk some football, okay? Tim Hasselbeck will join us coming up here in a little bit. Back after this, Dan Patrick Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
If you do the quick math, The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR onto one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Back by popular demand, Tim Hasselbeck. Great appearance last time he was on. Former NFL quarterback and works for the Mothership, although also the ACC Network. He will be in Chapel Hill. It's Duke and North Carolina coming up this Saturday on the ACC Network. Let me start with last night here. Let's start with the Jets. Can you pinpoint one major problem with this team? Like, what's the one that stands out?
Listen, I'm trying not to be crazy obvious. Look, I think the quarterback is a big major issue. It's just surprising to me. I think I see guys play sometimes, Dan, and it's like they're unlocked. They're free. They're not worried about making mistakes. And I just feel like there's an element sometimes when you watch other guys that they're just paralyzed. Like, I know they're better players than what we see. I know they're better athletes than what we see, but there's just something, whether like the building or the game plan or whatever it is, has just made them feel like, all right, they just want me to not screw up. Like, that's what they want me to not do. And I think when you do that, you're just not as good. Like, just there's an element of being, you know, relaxed and confident that I think, you know, there's a carefree to being able to play the position sometimes that I think is important.
But when you go to the line of scrimmage and you're thinking about blocking assignments, you're thinking about the pass rush. I mean, he's forced to think about other things. I don't know if he can have tunnel vision when he goes up there and goes, hey, it's just like when I was at BYU. I don't have to worry about anything. I can freelance. He doesn't have that opportunity with as bad as that offensive line is.
Yeah, no, listen, that's fair. Pass protection. I mean, just look around the league. Guys that play well, oftentimes it's because that week, like, they've got a clean pocket. I mean, there's just about everybody that's playing in the league is going to do better in that environment. I think what I'm more referring to is, like, look, you look at some of these quarterbacks that go out there. I'll give you, like, the kid in Chicago, Bajet, this week. I thought there was a carefreeness to how he played, like, which surprised me a little bit based on how he struggled the week before. I think you look at Josh Dobbs, and like, you come into that environment, it's like, listen, man, like, I'm not going to bog myself down and slow myself down by thinking about all the bad things that might happen. Like, there's an element of cutting it loose. And I'm not saying be reckless, but I think there's an element of guys just looking hesitant at times. And I feel like you see that a little bit with Zach. And I think because of the O-line, because of just some of the things they're dealing with, like, you need him, you need his athleticism and his ability to be an asset, not something that doesn't shine through.
What is the major motivation for Aaron Rodgers to try to come back this year?
Listen, I think you just run out of time. Age, injury, like an appreciation for how old he is, what he's been through in his career. And then, you know, look, I think everybody that has had success like he's had or close to it, like there's this chip, right, that in competitiveness that's different than other players. Like there are plenty of people that are like, look, I'm making a lot of money. I'm going to get better. I'll see you next year. But I think there's an element of, look, I just did something that no one else has done. I think really, really great players are motivated by things like that. So, I think that those are probably the things that factor into him the most.
Feels like he wants to prove something modern medicine-wise. Like, that's really important. That's why he's out there throwing the football. He wants you to see. He wants you to chronicle this. He wants this to go viral. And look, you know, whatever his interpretation of modern medicine is and what he's pushing and what he believes in, good for him. Because if it works for him, that's all that matters. It feels like that might be at the front of this, that I want to get back. I don't know if he can play and help them, if he should come back and play, but it feels like there's a couple of different motivations, at least, you know, from the outside looking in.
Yeah, and listen, I think, you know, we're probably both speculating that that'd be the case, but how about this? Like, I don't disagree with you. So think about great players in that. When Adrian Peterson came back from his ACL injury, and it was 6 months, what did we do? Look at Adrian Peterson. This guy's not human. He's coming back from that injury after 6 months. And then next thing you know, it's like Wes Welker does his ACL. Like, oh, how fast is Wes coming back? And now all of a sudden, like, that's changed the game where we go, guy tore his ACL? Like, so what, man? Like, 6 months, he's going to be better than he was before. And, like, that doesn't happen with, like, the journeyman player. Like, that's not but it's the great player that does it. And now all of a sudden, he changes everyone's expectation for it. So, look, I think you're right. You know, like, only Aaron would really be able to tell us. But, like, if he changes the game in terms of tearing your Achilles and how you come back, that's a big deal to someone like him, I bet.
Daniel Jones tearing his ACL. Let me put you in the front office with the Giants. What are you going to do at the quarterbacking position?
I think you need to I don't think they've had their guy. I think the contract this year, like, I just haven't felt that way. I think the success last year was a little bit of fool's gold. I think Daniel's tough and competitive and all that. And I have a ton of respect for a guy that tears his ACL and I think tries to keep playing, not knowing how badly you hurt himself. Like, everyone's got to understand, like that's the type of competitor he is. That's great. But I know this. Like, you mentioned the game I have this weekend. I know a lot of people talk about Caleb Williams. Drake May is, to me, about as perfect of a prospect that I have ever seen in 15 years at ESPN. Like there are good quarterbacks coming out in this draft. You're going to have a bad team. I understand, you know, you re-signed Daniel Jones to a big contract last year and all of that. I think if you're in the market for one of these guys that I believe is going to be really, really good, I think you got to get involved in that game. And Drake May, for me, Dan would be at the top of the list.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN ACC football analyst, former NFL quarterback. Let me stay on that because I think Orlovsky, we've had a couple of analysts who have been, it felt like it. We moved away from Caleb Williams because we wanted to bring in other quarterbacks into the conversation. And then I wondered, Michael Penix Jr. and Caleb, is it 1A, 1B, 1C in your opinion with these quarterbacks?
Here's what I think. I think in the evaluation process of these guys, well, first off, all three of them ridiculously talented, right? And I think a lot of people are going to say, yeah, this guy's good enough, productive enough, projects enough to be a first rounder. I think when people sit down and talk to Drake May, I think that it's going to look like there's nothing wrong with them. I think when you talk through, he's going to be a better pro than college player. His size, his athleticism, the way he moves, like, he to me is already, like, will be in a class of just physically talented and then also like size, ability, how he sees things to Herbert and Mahomes and Josh Allen. Those guys that are like every bit of, you know, 6'4 to 6'6, run crazy, see it well, you know, insanely competitive. Like, he's going to be like that. He's checking all of those boxes. And then he's just a young kid still that I think is going to get better in the pros when you can control the game because of how smart he is. So
okay. I'm going to give you the number one pick, Tim. Tim, you're the Cardinals. You're on the clock.
Yeah, I'm taking him.
Taking Drake May.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a quick answer.
Yep. I am.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, and look, I haven't, because I do ACC games, Dan, I haven't had a Washington game. I haven't had an SC game. But, you know, I'm watching the stuff like everybody else. I just know that, you know, from talking to people and, like, seeing what he's like in the building and just his competitive nature combined with his ability. Like, he does things that other guys just don't do that I think really translates to the next level.
Let me ask you a couple of NFL questions. How does Baltimore physically dominate? You know, they dominated the Lions and they dominated Seattle. Those are teams that I wouldn't think would be physically dominated. What is it that Baltimore is doing and what makes them a sneaky Super Bowl pick?
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively, we all would probably agree they've got an aggressive, physical front. So, like, look, that they're not going to get bullied by anybody on that side of the ball. And then I think offensively, you know, as much as we've talked about, hey, this passing game is going to be different. And I think that there are elements of, in the pocket passing that have definitely improved. Because of the nature of what they can do offensively with their personnel, meaning, look, the guys up front, their tight end, their fullback, the backs that they have, and then the threat of what the quarterback can do, giving you a number count advantage in the run game. Like, run game is numbers and angles, you know? And so they get extra elements of that because of their quarterback. That helps you be physical. And then they've done a good job with some of the passing game stuff off of it. So I think that is what makes them special, what makes them a team that could beat Kansas City, could beat Miami, could beat any of these other teams in the AFC on the way to the Super Bowl.
Who do you have a better sense of who they are, the Dolphins or the Cowboys?
I think I have a better sense of who the Dolphins are than the Cowboys. And I will say this. Like, I actually came away Sunday night more impressed with Dallas than less impressed. Like, I think it was easy to be like, hey, I'm going to focus on this last 70 seconds of the football game and be like, oh, Dallas, what a disaster. But really, I was like, I saw a quarterback play extremely well. I thought Dak did a good job running when he needed to run. He certainly passed the ball extremely well. I thought that the defense did a good job of not allowing Philadelphia to run the football. Like, there are obviously elements that game could have been different. So I do think I'm encouraged by Dallas, but what I do know about, like, I know there's an identity in Miami, like, of what they want to do, how they want to do things. And I think that it takes a lot for them to get away from that. Whereas, like, I feel like with Dallas, you could get a game where, you know, Pollard has 28 carries, and then you could get a game where you're 6 carries. Like, I just don't think that you're that unsure about what you might see from Miami.
You played under Andy Reid in Philly. You played under Steve Spurrier in Washington. What's the biggest difference between those two?
Well, I would say this. The one constant, before I go there, one constant is, like, I think both guys actually did a great job of having you be, like, relaxed. Talking about quarterbacks getting paralyzed and stuff. Like, I think Coach Spurrier, because he played the position, you know, he was great at getting guys open. He wanted you to be relaxed. Andy does the same exact thing. I just would say probably the biggest thing with Andy is, even though he is relaxed, like, there's no stone unturned. Like, the level of detail for a guy that's very relaxed, that keeps team meetings really short, I think is remarkable. That's a really hard balance of not being somebody that's like, hey, you know, don't forget to do this, but don't forget to do that. And, oh, yeah, hey, if the safety's high, then remember we're checking this. Like, and all of a sudden, like, you can paralyze somebody. Like, he's details, but also relaxed, you know. And I think that's really cool. So, hey, I want to do this. I was listening to the show, Dan, and I can't get off this segment without being like, thank you for your advice on, you know, father of the bride speeches, groomsmen speeches. Like, I was at, you know, I've been at so many weddings. I left one not that long ago with my brother, and it was like, hey, listen, there should be a college class on rehearsal dinner speeches or wedding speeches. Like, we don't need to hear about the time that, like, you were nearly arrested after the Limp Bizkit concert. Like, we don't need that. Like, now's not the time. Like, give the compliment. Like, it's okay, right? Let's go.
Have you ever given a speech, best man speech?
I've given a best man speech, brother's wedding, friend's wedding. I have a daughter who's in high school, so I'm not there yet. But, like, I heard you talking about, like, where you'll be one time with that. Like, listen, I'm showering with praise at that point, okay? Like, that, like, yeah. I'm not going in. It's not the time to give a hard time.
You didn't give me your favorite Spurrier story. You have to have a few of those.
I have a very good Spurrier story. We were playing the Giants. I don't know if I told this before. We're playing the Giants, and it snowed like 5 inches in New York the night before. So they plowed the field before the game, but it's freezing cold. And then, you know, it's the second half, and it's freezing out still. And I just remember I'm sitting on the bench. You know, they got the heaters coming out of them, and I'm right next to Lavernius Coles. And Coach Spurrier comes over to us, and our defense is on the field. It's like third down, and we're freezing, and he's facing the two of us, and he's freezing. And LC looks up at him, and he's like, hey, Coach, and he kind of moves over. And he's like, you can sit down if you want. And he's like, oh, LC, I wish that I could. I wish that I could.
He was different. He didn't care about the defense. Did he even know the guys' names on the defense there in Washington?
I'm sure he knew the names. I will say this, and I know, you know, that time didn't work out, but I feel like, you know, there's something to learn from any good coach. He obviously is a really, really good coach. And there are a lot of things I learned from him. And listen, every level is different. Every situation is different. But at least for me, he was a lot of fun for me to play for.
Safe travels down there to North Carolina. Thanks for joining us again, Tim.
Cool. Thanks, Dan.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN, also working for the ACC, former NFL quarterback. He's got Duke of North Carolina. Tim's in love. Tim's in love with Drake May. You know, we had Ryan Leaf who said, I'm taking Michael Penix Jr. I think Orlovsky said, I'm taking Drake May. Tim Hasselbeck, I'm taking Drake May. Yeah, Paulie?
I would say that 4 months ago, Caleb Williams was one of the biggest sure things, number one draft picks of our lifetime. I mean, that it's hard to remember that, but it wasn't even a topic 4 months ago. He would have been better off almost not playing this year or being injured with his stock or something. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know if this is a media's opinion or NFL opinion, but it's changed a lot.
Yeah, and I think he's more valuable this year to his team than he was last year. I think he's been asked to do more, tried to do more, and that defense didn't help out. It feels like Drake May, though, has not been in the spotlight. And when you're in the spotlight, more people are going to pick you apart. And I think that's what's happened with Caleb Williams, that there may be, we've seen this, but man, what he does is special. And Michael Penix is really talented too. His ball placement, I mean, that's all next level stuff. Drake May, I mean, Bo Nix is going to be in the mix. I don't know where Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, probably end of the first round. Although I found it strange where Mel Kiper, after Shedeur Sanders had a couple of big games, oh, he's going to be a first-round pick. Well, was he a first-round pick at Jackson State or because he looked good against Nebraska and TCU? And is he still a first-round pick? Everybody jumped on the Colorado bandwagon like, oh, my God, they're going to compete for a national championship. Shedeur Sanders, you know, they got Heisman candidate. Like, you know, slow down with all of this. And it's almost like the media expectations got too high after TCU. That Colorado was chasing that and still chasing that. So when they lose these games like last weekend, like I'm not surprised because they're not a good team. They're an interesting team. They're not a good team, consistent team. And I'll talk to Deion about that. They just don't have, you know, the military, you know, it's like having the Army. You got the Air Force and the Navy. They need the Army there as well to help them. All right, we'll take a break back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Don't look now, but the Minnesota Timberwolves might be a sneaky good team this year. In case you're wondering, the Timberwolves beat the Celtics. In a six-day span, they have defeated the Nuggets and the Celtics. Just throwing it out there. Anthony Edwards is legit. I just don't know about supporting cast there, but do like him a lot. Yes, Paul?
Early NBA standings. It's only, what, five, six games? Which team is leading the entire league in win differential, win point differential? Like, they're winning the games by the most amount of points. They're averaging, their average win is a 14.5 result. The Boston Celtics.
Oh, okay. All right. It is a little too early.
I know, six games.
Yeah. Lakers lost again. Throwing that out there. Like, Anthony Davis got hurt again.
They're the 10 seed right now, a little early.
Yeah, yeah. How many games has Zion Williamson played back-to-back? Is he up to two now? What did we say? He had to play at least 10 in a row before we were going to comment on the Pelicans? I think he played like four in a row and then missed a game, and now it's two in a row.
Should we start a counter going? Or
Zion consecutive.
It's like at a workplace, consecutive days without an accident. Yeah. They always put that sign up.
OSHA.
Otto in L.A. Hi, Otto. What do you have for me today?
Hi. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
5'10", 250. Lower body like a young Jerome Bettis.
Okay.
I'm from Atlanta, but I live in L.A. I have season tickets to the Chargers. We should have fired Brandon Staley last year, man. It's just watching this team is just really bad. They're just wasting Justin Herbert's talent. Brandon Staley is supposed to be a defensive guru. The defense is terrible. Unlike last night, it looked like the 85 Bears last night against the Jets. But
wait, you're 4-4. You just won the game, Otto.
Against the Jets.
Okay, but the same Jets who beat the Eagles.
Right, and that was more of a...
Otto, thank you for the phone call. I know what you're doing. You don't want to be hurt at the end of the season. You're preparing for the worst. Chargers are 4-4. You host Detroit at Green Bay, host Baltimore, at New England, host Denver, at the Raiders. What if you win four of those games? Three of those games?
Yeah, you've always been pro-Charger.
Yeah, yes. Much to my detriment. You know what it is? It's the uniforms. I think even when the Chargers disappoint you, when they don't play well, you still go, man, those are great uniforms. Do we do that with any other franchise where we go, God, those are great uniforms?
North Carolina football?
Yeah.
They disappoint, but yeah. Man, they look nice.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you're going to have style points when you lose, it always feels like the Chargers, God, they look sharp.
The colors,
yeah,
along with the bolt and the number on the helmet, fire.
They look like a winning franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baker in Bozeman. Hi, Bake.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Fritzy. So Danny, you know, you are one of the most innate, gifted interviewers in my experience. You and Mark Maron are the two that have the ability to make people feel like they've known you forever, and it's a gift of yours. I say all of that to say the last thing you need is my suggestion of a question for Deion Sanders. But I would love for you, but I do have a question that I would love to hear Deion address, because. And I think in terms of, you know, last week when Josh Daniels was terminated, you said, you know, people can be a good assistant coach, or they can, you know, be a good coordinator. It doesn't mean they're going to be a good head coach, because as a head coach, you need to be a CEO.
Yeah.
I think Deion is a great CEO from what he's demonstrated at Colorado. And so my point is, I think down the road, years down the road, if he goes to the pros, people naturally would think of him with the Cowboys. I can't imagine him wanting to be the coach for Jerry Jones, who has the history of micromanaging.
I agree. And I got to figure out how to broach the topic with Deion about coaching in the NFL. But and thank you for the comparison. Mark Maron does a wonderful job on his podcast. So Deion will join us coming up next hour. We'll get to more phone calls as well. I think we'll have a fresh poll question for you as well. Sign up for the newsletter. Backroom guys do a wonderful job, led by, of course, Mario. 2 hours in the books, one more to go on this Tuesday with Fritzy, Seton, Marv, Paulie, and yours truly.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. The brilliant EQE SUV from Mercedes-Benz, available with digital light technology. So smart, even the headlamps are thinking. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQE-SUV.